Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we spoke of hope for the Advent wreath. This week we're going to speak on peace. And there's a lot of guests here. If you want to hear about joy, come on next week and we'll speak about joy, Lord willing. And then we'll finally get to love. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll see the Christ candle. But for our message of hope today, message on peace, we're going to turn to Ephesians. You can remain seated as this is an epistle. It's a teaching. It's a letter of teaching. And we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 10 through 17, continuing in Jesus' name. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, ye who are sometimes afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather around your word, to gather with the saints, Father. But also, we thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. We ask that you sanctify us in the truth, because, Father, your word is truth. We know this in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Paul wrote Ephesians to encourage. There are a lot of letters that he wrote that actually bring a lot of correction. He served in Ephesus for 2 years. He helped to build a church that continued to flourish. And it's interesting, if you were to follow this all the way through, even to Revelation, where the seven churches are being written to, Ephesus has one issue. They left their first love. They wandered, in reality, away from Jesus Christ. And that is the center. And in fact, that is the only core to our salvation, is by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That imputed righteousness. And this book, this letter, speaks so powerfully about this, that it speaks so strongly and all about what we can do. And we live in a world, oftentimes, that we have a tendency of gauging our performance compared to somebody else. But in Christianity, we haven't dropped that at times. We still have a tendency to compare our churches against other churches, our beliefs against other beliefs. But Ephesians blows that out of the water. We can stand on our own laurels in the business world or in academia, wherever it may be, on our brilliance. But the fact of it is, in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says 27 times in him, in Christ Jesus. It has been done and completed in and through his redemptive work upon that cross. And that's what this Christmas season's about. This Christmas season's not about building up another denomination to being in the right club, to making sure you have the password, whether you shake a hand and say peace or God's peace or whatever you may do. It's not about that. Those are beautiful things that we can encourage one another. But what is that peace? Peace is knowing the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in your behalf, in my behalf. Previously to this Ephesians text that we picked up from, the same chapter brings out a very strong point. Verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift. This salvation is a gift of God. That He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son that you could live. We receive this gift by faith, not by intellect. Where would that bring us? I'll be the first to admit, I'm not the brightest unit in the world. It's not trying to call myself down. It's just a reality. I have a lot of people that come up to me and talk to me about different books they've read or different things they've done. And I'm like, I don't know. And I don't even have the best memory in the world. I don't. If you think I can ever quote Scripture while I'm preaching, that is a gift of God because I can't. And if you think I can even read badly, trust me, I read worse alone. I have dyslexia. Diagnosed. My own father told me the first time he heard me read, he said, I can't believe that you. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to pull you through school with a truck. It's not about our capabilities as human beings. It's not about our intellect. It is about the finished work of Jesus Christ and that great work that we are saved by unmerited favor, grace. And we receive that by faith that even He assures. Because it's His gift. If we could ever use anything right now in this day and age, it's peace. It's peace. So He turns and He continues and He talks here. He says, you know, this is not by works, because we would turn around and boast. He says, but we are actually His workmanship. We were crafted and made to bring forth what He would want. And then He turns around very plainly. He says, wherefore, on account of this, don't forget where you came from. If you've come into faith and you receive the greatest gift, don't forget where you've come from. Don't think that you're think of yourself more highly than you ought. That, in other words, it's easy to understand somebody when we remember, in all honesty, our own struggles, our own difficulties. We can have compassion with other people when we consider our own difficulties. He says very plainly, he says, don't forget in times past that you were Gentiles. Now, you've got to understand, Ephesus was mostly a Gentile area. There were some synagogues. There were some Israelites that were worshiping in this area. But I'd say 90%, and I don't have any facts to back that up, but it was a city that really was dedicated to the goddess of Diana. But the fact of it is, you turn around and he says, don't forget who you were, that you were Gentiles in the past. You are actually called the unclean for those that were called clean. And this was a sign that was given, that circumcision. It was an outward sign. He says, so everybody could tell you apart. He says, that at the time you were without Christ, you were actually aliens, you were foreigners. Outside of all of what God offered to Israel. Understand this. You were strangers. You had no rights to the covenant. Having a hope and without God, having no hope and without God in reality in this world, you were lost. Sounds pretty depressing, doesn't it? Then he continues. He says, but now, see, they say there's no buts in life. Ephesians breaks that down in two times. He says, but God in reality. He says, but now, in Christ. He says, you who are actually far away. He says, you are far away. He says, you're made close. By what? By your own endeavors? By your own abilities? By the blood of Christ. That God loved you so much, He gave His only begotten Son. that God loved you so much that he came to this earth and became one with us, if you could say, Emmanuel, God with us. And he came and he served. And he has shown his way and his will throughout the whole time that he served upon this earth, and we continue to reject. Reject to the point of bringing death even upon that cross. But yet that did not dishearten him. For he loved us and desired for restoration for us. He says, and now, he says, you were far away, you Gentiles, you unbelievers. He says, but he drew you near. This is his action. And then he comes across and he says, because he is our peace. He is our peace. He says, he's turned around and now he no longer sees this division. And we still fight division at times, don't we? He says, he has made this peace between the Jew and the Gentile, if you can say it in that fashion. He says, he's brought them both together in one and broken down this middle wall of partition between us. Oftentimes we take this even in the aspect of, he broke down, you know, that veil of the temple, it was rent in two. This is not exactly the same. There was a wall, a partition wall, to keep the Gentiles out of the woman's court in the old temple worship. And then there was a wall from the woman's court to the men's court. And then there was a wall between there and the holiest and holies. And really what he's saying here is God took those divisions out of the way. That we could be one. One in Jesus Christ. He took all of this away. How's that working for us? Oftentimes we have a tendency to say, well, and I'm no different. Please don't think I'm thinking I'm any different. I have to slap myself once in a while and wake up to reality. What church do you go to? Well, I go to so-and-so. What church do you go to? Well, they're different. They go to that one. Why do we continually have these walls? We even do it within our own federation from church to church. It's so ridiculous. But God says, in and through Jesus Christ, he has pulled down the walls. That there would be no more division. That we would worship God in truth and in spirit and as one. He says, he's pulled this down. And he actually abolished, he says, in his flesh, paying the penalty, really. He says, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances for to make himself of twain one new man. Making peace. That we are grafted into Israel. Not that we replace something, but that we join. That we're brought in by the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we are in reality the children of God. He makes it so very plain. And what is the purpose of this? To make this one new man. For peace. I don't know about you. I'm sick of trying to appease a God. I'm sick of trying to figure out what dogmatic is right, what rule is right. God says, that's gone. In and through Jesus Christ, through that redemptive work, him paying, redeeming us, buying us back upon that cross, grace is poured out. It's poured out. And it's received by faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no better way to have peace is but to have peace in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That we would struggle no more. Because if we look out there, there's good, don't get me wrong. But there's also scary, scary times. He made this peace. For what purpose? And that he might reconcile. Bring back, buy back, redeem, however you want to say this, both unto God in one body, bringing this all together and really taking this enmity out of the way. And then he turns and he makes this very valid point. And he came and preached peace. He preached peace to those that were far off, and he preaches peace to those that are close. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know that God your Father loves you. that He sent His only Son into this world. That's what these kids had shared with you throughout their whole program about the gift of life through Jesus Christ. And if you're here as a guest and you don't know Him, He still has paid the penalty for you. And He calls you to see. And if you've been here all along and you're feeling confident and you've got it all figured out, good for you. Because you know what? God loves you even in your own self-righteousness. Because God loves you. Too many times we think God loves a thought process. We think too many times that God, in reality, loves a dedication. God loves you so much as His child, His creation. He doesn't ask you to perform, and then you'll receive. He gives, and then you can perform. It's pretty awesome. See, if you read Ephesians, the first three chapters really bring that out. Everything that Christ has done for you. Everything Christ has done for you. And then the last three chapters actually tell you, now that you are sitting, stand up and walk. Walk in Him. Thank you for coming out today. Thank you for sharing your message. I pray that you find peace in this Christmas season, that we truly can have joy in our hearts, and that we can share with one another. There is a beautiful meal that's prepared here today. It's all volunteer meal that's brought in. Please feel free to come, stay, and fellowship with us. We're not going to preach at anybody. We just want to love you, have coffee with you. There's probably some good pie, at least, I'm sure. And even if you don't want to eat, if you have a lot of allergies, we try to cater to some of that. Come have a cup of coffee. Just sit down and let's visit. Thank you. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear the youth speak. We pray that you would continue to bless them, strengthen them, and encourage them. We pray that the words that they even spoke, that they would even impact in their own lives. Not to appease men, not to meet to a certain tradition, but they would truly have the joy of Christ in their heart. Allow the same for us. We come here oftentimes, Father, with our own understandings and our own ways. Allow us to lay down our arms. Father, allow me to lay down mine. And just love what you have done for us. Allow me to relish in that and allow each and every one here to also enjoy the blessings from your hand. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.